Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sports Talk with DT. We're back live with another brand new episode of Sports Talk. I'm here with my friend, my brother, my mentor, Mr. David Wilson. Coach, how are you tonight?
I am blessed, man. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing awesome. I'm doing awesome. So tonight, we're going to be discussing the Final Four of the NBA playoffs, the Miami Heat, the Boston Celtics, the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Denver Nuggets. But before we do that, I got to give a shout-out to my host, to my producer. He is the host of the R&R Show that premieres every Wednesday and Friday night. Every Wednesday and Friday night. I want to give a shout-out to Rolo Solo Dolo. I got to bring on another very, very special guest. She is the lovely, the gifted, the brilliant, the talented, the dang, dusty, the gifted, magnificent, and special, Miss Brittany Connors of Women Love Sports too. Brittany, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. So listen, we're going to get right into the conversation. So the Miami Heat, they currently lead the Boston Celtics 2-1 in the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, and myself, I'm going to be first to admit, I did not think the Miami Heat was playing like this. Like, I don't know if the bubble presents a different type of basketball. I mean, but I'm gonna go to Bree on this one first. What do you know about the Eastern Conference Finals? And did you expect the Miami Heat to be still playing basketball in the Final Four?
So I definitely did not see that coming. I'm not mad at it, though, because I'm actually happy. Jimmy Butler is an excellent player in my personal opinion. He was a great player with the Chicago Bulls, and I was kind of looking forward to seeing him progress in the Eastern Conference playoffs, getting out of the first round. He definitely did that this time around. I'm not sure. No, I'm not going to lie to you. I did miss the first. I think I missed their first game. I haven't seen a game of theirs yet, but I will be watching tonight. So I'll be looking for a few things so that I can, you know, make my little analyzing and what have you. But I will say, I kind of, just a little bit, want to see the classic matchup when it comes down to the finals, Boston Celtics and the Lakers. It's only right, you know. But at the end of the day, the Miami Heat is giving Boston a run for their money.
Can I jump in there, Dennis? I'm sorry. She's absolutely right. But, yeah, Miami showed a glimpse of this before the restart. It's just a simple fact that people – you don't get to see Miami as much as you got to see Boston, as you got to see the Lakers, as you got to see the Clippers. So people didn't know that Miami – actually had a cohesive unit. They had like 7-8 players deep, and them 7-8 players deep play their roles and play their roles quite well. As you can see, obviously nobody picked Miami to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and here they are. And they're actually doing a great job. The reason why Boston actually won that last game was simply because of the return of Gordon Hayward. And although he didn't add a lot of punch of scoring, he added what was missing in that balance for Boston. And right now you got four teams that have balance or rely on each other to do certain things. And when that it's just like a machine. When a cog is messed up, the machine stops running fluidly. And so now you see how Boston came in and they actually got a game. Miami was clicking on all cylinders. And just the simple fact that Hayward came in and picked up some emotion and picked up some minutes and actually produced a little bit just brought Boston up to a level, and they were comfortable, and then that machine just started moving comfortably. But don't make no mistakes about it. Boston, this will be a seven-game series, and it's a toss-up of who wins. It's just the way the ball bounces at the end of that seventh game.
Okay, so Dave, so do you feel as if that now that Hayward is back playing basketball and playing basketball at a respectable level, that you really feel that 100% that he was the difference maker for the Boston Celtics in this series as of now going ahead into game four tonight?
Emotionally. And like I said, he's not, don't get it twisted, he's not in basketball shape. He's nowhere near in basketball shape. With a third-degree sprained ankle, not being able to be active, and now you're coming back and kind of rushing it, in my opinion, but, hey, he knows his body better than we do. But as far as picking up, you know, Dennis, as a coach, when you're missing a player, but a player comes back and they uplift the team in an emotional way, players start playing different. Their emotions is up, their mindset is different. Players start playing differently. And, you know, do I think Gordon's going to come out here and drop 20? No. But do I think he uplifted the team in a certain way emotionally? Yes. And that's the reason why they got the last win. It'll be a competitive series. But, you know, it's anybody's ball. But these teams are I actually think Boston is a better team on paper. But playing-wise and cohesive-wise, Miami is the better team on the court right now at this moment in time.
All right, so Bree, I want to come to you and ask you this. Being down 2-1 in the series, you get one of your key guys back, but we know he may not be at 100%. Do we rely on him to his original workload, or since it's the playoffs and you got to just get it and go in the offs, or do we kind of just work him in just to see what he can do?
I wouldn't rely on him 100% because you risk possible re-injury or exacerbating anything that you're attempting to bounce back from. So depending on, you know, type of injury, different things like that, I mean, I think that, you know, they should want to rely on each other more than just one individual, because if that's the case, then it's going to be difficult to try to bounce back as a team, or try to, you know, win a title or advance to that next round to get to that title. Because let's say that they did rely on him like that. What happens at that next level? If he gives it 100% in this round, and then him doing that, let's fight, and causes him to not be able to participate or to participate at the same level at the next round, then all of that was for nothing.
Okay, so being down 2-1, Bree, what's the mindset of the Boston Celtics tonight?
Mindset is come out and get a win. There is no quote unquote home court advantage. Everybody's in the bubble, so which makes it keeps it neutral. But it has to be, you know, defense, locking down some key guys, making sure that they're, you know, hitting the shots that they need to hit, and you know, kind of digging their heels in and seeing what they can do about evening out the series.
So I want to go to here. So what is really, in you guys' opinion, what has been the difference maker in the series? Because when I look at it from Miami's perspective, Miami has a lot of guys that went unsigned. I mean, well, undrafted is the correct term. A lot of late picks, like Tyler Hero, who went undrafted. Ben Abadayo, who drafted 14 overall. Derrick Jones, who went undrafted. So it's just kind of interesting to me. They kind of remind me of the 04 Pistons when they won the title, how they didn't have that big name. Of course, they had that Chauncey Billups and they had Rasheed Wallace. But that team, in my opinion, was a team of a lot of team players. There was no one main guy.
Role players.
And in my opinion, the Miami Heat is built kind of the same way. If I would compare, I would say Jimmy Butler is to the Miami Heat how Rasheed Wallace was to the Detroit Pistons. Like, he was kind of that guy that pushed them over the hump. So I like what this Miami Heat team is doing, but on the other side, I mean, this is a Boston Celtics team that is built to win now. Like, you let Kyrie walk and go to Boston. I mean, go to Brooklyn, excuse me. You brought in Kemba Walker, who, in my opinion, who has played great basketball all year long before COVID. Now back in the bubble, Kemba Walker is
playing, doing his job. Now you got Gordon Hayward back in the mix, Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, in my opinion, is one of the best young guys in the NBA today, in the entire NBA. So this is a team that's built to win now. So, like, who? I mean, what's the mindset both ways going into tonight's game, Dave?
I'm sorry, Dennis. You didn't speak that. I'm in and out. I'm in and out with the reception.
I'm saying,
what's
the mindset of both ball clubs going into tonight's game?
To win. I mean, if Miami wins, we got a commanding lead. If Boston wins, we even the series and we got momentum. I mean, Miami's trying to take control of the series and show that just because Hayward's back, it doesn't mean anything. They're the better team. And Boston's trying to show now that we're at full force, somewhat. We're at 90%, 87%. We're the better team, and we're going to enforce that. We want to get to the finals. I mean, the mindset is simple. We're trying to win. If Miami wins, they got a lock on the series. If Boston wins, it's anybody's game from here on out. Best of four.
Okay, so let's just say if Boston does win tonight, what does that say to the coaching career of Brad Stevens as of today, since he's been in the NBA? You know, he came over from Butler. I believe that was Butler where he coached in the NCAA. He got the job in Boston, and he has done a great job ever since he has taken over the Boston Celtics. If he's able to even the series today, what does that say for Brad Stevens?
Brad Stevens is a heck of a coach. I mean, it ain't got nothing to do with winning tonight. Like you said, he came from college straight into the pros with a talented roster and got the best out of that talented young roster to the point where, I mean, yeah, they underachieved, but that's equation to a lot of things. I can't say that his coaching is the reason why they've underachieved. I could say that the players players taking plays on, players not giving their full potential or full effort is the reason why they've underachieved, or too much hero ball at one point in time. Case in point with the Kemba Walker situation going on, or why they got into the argument to the locker room. It wasn't solely on Kemba, but it was a simple fact that you're building Jason Tatum as a superstar, and Jason Tatum is playing mediocre right now. And then, you know, he doesn't stand ahead above as the full force leader. And Kemba, we brought you in here for the playoffs, and you're shooting 2 for 12 and 1 for 6 and halves. Dude, that's not going to make it. You're supposed to be that big money player. So saying about Brad Stevens has already been said. Brad Stevens is one heck of a coach. He's already proven that. It has nothing to do with tonight's game. If you win tonight, it just enforces what's already known. But it's not his legacy, his reputation, or anything ain't fixed on if they can even the series tonight.
All right, so Bree, who do you like tonight and why?
Well, first, I kind of want to reflect back and touch on a couple of things. Boston does have a pretty young roster. Also, Kemba Walker, with that addition, as you had spoken on earlier, Kemba Walker, in my opinion, is kind of like, he was a slept-on player prior to his arrival in Boston, and I'm just hoping that for, you know, this round for him, just period altogether as far as the bubble play, that people are starting to wake up a little bit more in terms of his game and his ability. That's just my opinion. Tonight, I am in favor of, like I said, I haven't been able to catch the Eastern Conference finals game. So in order for me to make a proper assessment or analysis, you know, I would have to have, you know, saw the game. I definitely plan on watching tonight's game. But going into tonight's game, knowing Miami's up 2-1, I'm hoping that it doesn't turn out to be kind of like a blowout situation. So Boston knows what they have to do tonight. I think they're going to come in hungry. So I'm going to go ahead and go with the Boston Celtics to may even up the series 2-2.
All right, so I'm going to throw this question out to you, Bree. So the Boston Celtics hypothetically get eliminated tonight, I mean, well, get eliminated in this round and do not advance to the championship, can we say, or is it fair to say that they should have looked at keeping Kyrie versus going after Kemba Walker, or is the Kemba Walker Kyrie Irving situation don't even come into play if they get eliminated?
For me, that doesn't come into play because at the end of the day, I believe the Brooklyn Nets played in the bubble as well, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. If they did, I'm sure they had ample opportunity to be in the same position as the Boston Celtics are in now. So with that being said, I don't think one man would have made the difference in that particular situation. They still have great guys like Jaylen Brown. What is his name?
Marcus Smart still over there.
Marcus Smart, and I'm thinking of light skin. I can't think of his name.
Jason Tatum.
That's it. Yeah, I don't know why that didn't hit me. Yeah, so, I mean, they still have a solid core group of guys, and Kemba Walker as the nucleus of that bunch, more like a floor general who's able to get guys involved and kind of, you know, help them elevate their game and just elevate as a team. So I don't think that the Kyrie situation has anything to do with whether or not they lose or not. As you stated earlier with Brad Stevens, phenomenal coach. He's coaching a group of young guys that he's been able to get this far into the season. So that speaks volumes as it is. So I don't think that Kyrie situation would have anything to do with that now.
Coach Booker, same question.
Actuality, I think Kyrie would actually be a poisonous situation right now because regardless of the fact, Kyrie gets into his selfish stage at a certain point in time in the season. And this would be about right time he gets selfish. And if not, these are the times that teams win, not teams with one player and then the rest of us. This is the time where teams win. And situation of crying about whatever he chooses to cry about at the time, like with LeBron, he wanted to be the man, or with Boston, these guys don't know how to win. You know, well, you're the big money man. You're supposed to show these cats how to win. That's what LeBron tried to do with you guys. That's why you ended up, calling LeBron, apologizing, like, dude, I didn't know what you were going through. But I think actuality, Kyrie would be poison right now to this team.
All right, so Dave, and knowing what you know as a basketball coach, who do you like in this series overall?
My mind says Boston, but the way the things are going right now, my eyes say Miami.
All right, so I used an analogy earlier that I kind of related the Miami Heat to the 04 Detroit Pistons, and on how a lot of the players on the Miami Heat roster went undrafted, and how the 04 Pistons team, there were a lot of team players and a lot of non-big name players. If the Miami Heat can somehow advance to the championship, is the Miami Heat favorite to win it all?
No. No.
Would you be shocked if they did win it all?
I wouldn't be shocked. Let me put it this way. I wouldn't be shocked, but at the same time, I'm not picking them to win, especially over the Lakers. Sorry. But it's not improbable.
That's coming up in segment two. We're going to deal with the Los Angeles Lakers, man.
Don't get me twisted. It's not improbable that they can't win. It's just a simple fact that it's a certain thing called fate, destiny, and the unknown. And we rolling in all three of them right now in 2020. And
okay,
with
so
the Lakers, with Kobe's untimely death, and the way the Lakers are playing inspired ball for Kobe, anything, I don't put nothing past that team right now. Team of destiny, call it what you want to. I just don't put anything past them in the black and gold right now.
I could agree with that. Yeah.
Since y'all want to transition right now, let's go ahead and transition then. We'll pay some bills in a few minutes. So we're going to move right on. First of all, I'm going to backtrack. I got the Boston Celtics winning that series 4-3. just for the simple reason I like what the Boston Celtics can do. I'm actually shocked that they're down in the series, to be completely honest. I agree with everything that everyone has said about the Celtics, their young team. I like what Brad Stevens has done thus far since he's been in Boston. I think Jason Tatum do needs to play better, but he's not playing bad. I believe at some point he definitely needs to be – he just needs to just flat out lead his ball club. I mean, Kemba Walker has to be a general that we know he can be. I understand that he's the point guard, and me from a culture perspective on how I see the game, a point guard is not necessarily being paid to score the ball. He's being paid to make smart decisions. That's just how I see the game. Some people see the game as the point guard. You get the ball. If you got a bucket, you go get a bucket. I see the game differently. But I think he has to make smarter decisions coming down the stretch. I believe, especially in game two, when Miami just came out and just went at the Boston Celtics, Kemba Walker made horrible decisions coming down the stretch, especially in the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game. He had like 3 turnovers in the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game. And when the playoffs on the line, you down a game, you got to make smart decisions. You can't just be in the bubble just turning the ball over. But I think with Hayward back, that's going to give the Celtics that emotional boost that they need, that veteran voice in the locker room. I like the Celtics to come out and get even tonight and eventually move on to the NBA championship. With that being said, we're going to pay some bills right now. We're going to be right back. In a few more minutes, we're going to come back with live with Brittany and Dave. We're going to be talking about the Western Conference Finals, the Denver Nuggets, the Los Angeles Lakers on Sports Talk with DT. We'll be right back.
Of a champion, you know my story. Story of how I turned nothing to something is glory. Bills were stacking, I kept grinding, was drowning in worry. Couldn't sleep through the night cause my stomach was roaring. Had no hope to make it out, no examples before me. And that's the reason why I spend so much time with the shorties. Life and designer, pick them up in the cars that are sporty. Cause I know those are things they like, so it's hard to ignore me. That's when I tell them, look at me, I started just like you. Ain't have a cent and I was hungry, shorty, just like you. I felt like ain't nobody love me, shorty, just like you. Became successful when I did it, looking just like you. And that's the reason I'm not planning on cutting these locks. I've only stacked 200K, I know it ain't a lot. I come from nothing, so I'm grateful for all that I've got. Plus, I know the millions on the way, cause I'm working a lot.
I gotta finish first, it ain't no glory coming second. I feel like Drizzy Drake, I'm hardly home, but always rapping. I thought when I was younger, I'd get killed or be arrested, yeah. Used to be a gun, but now my mind's my greatest weapon, oh. I'm up and it's a blessing, oh. My losses were a lesson, oh. But I gotta thank you again. How it started is not how it's going, no. I rose up off the planks and now my story's inspirational. But I still can't stop until my wealth is generational. Don't nobody know me, feel there's people that's more capable. But still they follow me, it's like my pull is gravitational. Come up on extra cash, gotta invest it when you get it. Still sit there, have nice stuff, I cannot lie, I admit it. But those things never last, just buckle down, stay committed. Can buy designer frames, but still you cannot buy vision. Got one piece of advice before I give it up. This is something that I learned when I was building up. We only get one life, you gotta live it up. And your dream is all you have, don't ever give it up. Our goals and our dreams are what makes this life worth it. Money is great, but what's better is purpose. What counts is what's inside, not what's on the surface. You'll make some mistakes, but ain't nobody perfect. I gotta finish first, it ain't no glory coming second. I feel like Drizzy Drake, I'm hardly home, but always rapping. I thought when I was younger, I'd get killed to be arrested. Yeah, used to be a gun, but now my mind's my greatest weapon. Oh, I'm up and it's a blessing. Oh, my losses were a lesson. Oh, Lord, I gotta thank you again. How it started is not how it's going. Oh,
yo. It's your boy Sports Talk with DT, and I'm live with my main man, Mr. David Wilson. Make sure you tune into the R&R Show right here live on IFM Radio Nation every Wednesday and Friday night. Special shout out to my producer, Mr. Rolo Solo Dolo. Hey, so Dave, we're going right into the Kick Conference Finals, Dave. What's been going on in these Western Conference Finals? Fuck them.
The Lakers up 2-0. Nothing. It's typical of what you expected to happen, especially when the Clippers didn't make it to the Western Conference Finals. Denver was a Cinderella team, but their time is up, man. Come on, they're running into a bust off. Like I said, I don't put nothing past these Lakers. These Lakers running on strict emotion for the untimely and unexpected passing of a Laker great, Kobe Bryant. They're doing it. They haven't come out really publicly and said it. Some players have said it, but they really on a mission to win this championship, especially with all the chaos that's gone on and then again with Kobe and GD passing, that they want to win it for them. So, you know, ain't nothing you didn't expect. We didn't not see this coming, especially with the Clippers not making it. We did not see this coming. Denver, you had a good run. And keep on building on what you have, the building blocks that you have, but you ain't finna win nothing right now, not against the black and gold, not the inspired black and gold that we're facing right now.
All right, so Dave, I'm going to go right to the question that everybody want to talk about, and everybody that's been buzzing around on social media in the sports world, the shot by Anthony Davis. Break that down for me from the eyes of a coach, offense and defense.
Defense was poor because they switched when they didn't have to. But they'd already prearranged that. Miles Plumlee and Jokic had already agreed to switch. And for some odd, I mean, I'm sorry, not Jokic, but Grant. And for some odd strange reason, Grant didn't go through with the switch. So, therefore, you had a clear look for Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is an underrated three-point shooter. And, again, that's strictly like, as you can see, if you read lips, when he hit that shot and he was running and celebrating with his teammates, what did he get? Kobe. So, you know, it is what it is from the offensive standpoint. It's an emotional shot. I knocked it down. I did it for Kobe. They gave a mistake and they took advantage of it. No coach, I don't think any coach really likes switching off an inbounds play. I think you like your straight up man to man, stick with your man, fight through the picks. That didn't happen. Two players agreed to switch and one player didn't go through with the switch. Therefore, you have an open look and you have a made basket.
All right, so. So Dave, but I thought Miles Plumlee had checked into the game for one reason, and that was to check Anthony Davis. And so,
You're absolutely right, brother. That's why he was in the game. So why you guys agreed to switch is beyond me. But that's why he checked into the game.
I mean, because the thing about it is, you saw the last play just like I saw the last play. I mean, Miles Plumlee jumped up. He jumping up and down five or six times like, yeah, boy, this is my moment. I'm ready, coach, for me.
Right.
He's stretching
right. Let me get the lights on.
No, he was jumping like he was ready. I mean, and from a basketball perspective, man, like you're a coach just like I'm a coach. If they got a free man, if they got a free man on the screen that's relevant, your job is to what? Follow the free man. It was
exactly.
No way. It was no way he was supposed to get that wide open. But if, I mean, but I will play devil's advocate and say nobody expected AD to take that shot either. The ball
that's the brilliancy. That's the brilliancy of that play. Just like you said, everybody was focused on Brian getting the ball. But what has Brian been saying all season, ever since AD signed? We need to be running through AD. So why not run that last play? Everybody focused on Brian. And you got the mistake. Because they was focused on Brian, what happened? You got the defensive mistake, and they took advantage of it.
I mean, that's got to be a heartbreaker for the Denver Nuggets to be right there with the game in your hand. All you got to do is play defense for 2 seconds and you even the series, and they drop the ball. What is the mindset of the Denver Nuggets going into game three?
I can't tell you what their mindset. Well, you know what? I can't tell you what their mindset is. They've been here before. They've fought before. So it's nothing new to them. Yeah, we've been here before. We can handle this or whatever. This is a mentally tough team. Don't get it twisted. The only reason why I said that this series was mostly over is because simple fact of the way the Lakers are playing. But don't make no mistake about it. Denver is a mentally tough team. Well coached. Mike Malone knows his X and O's, and he knows his roster. He knows what to do to get the best out of his roster. But the miraculous run of 3-1, 3-1, 3-1, you're not coming back from a 3-1 with the Lakers. So their mental is stay calm and produce what we got to produce and run what we got to run, but you're not going to. If Denver wins a game, I'll be surprised.
Okay, so do the Denver Nuggets need more from Jamal Murray?
No, they need more from Grant. They need more from Porter. They need more from those guys. You can't. Michael Porter Jr. said it best in the other round. You can't have an offense with just two guys. But if you only got two guys producing, what else you gonna do?
I agree with that because and watching game two. It looked as if in some possessions that Jamal Murray didn't see a player on the floor but Jokic.
Well, tunnel vision and trust. That boils down to tunnel vision and trust.
I mean, I'm picking your brain as a coach. Like in your philosophy, you know, you preach swinging the ball a lot. You know, in the way that the Denver Nuggets played in game two, where in some possessions there it looked as if there was nobody but Jokic and Murray on the court, how does that fit into the way that you see the game, Coach Wilson?
How does it fit to what now again, Dennis?
The way that you see the game, like into the way that you coach the game.
It don't, because there'll be instances in a game. Let me put it to you this way. And no coach will ever sit up here and tell you that their team can't win a game. I don't care what. Their coach got two problems with themselves. They don't believe in themselves, and they don't believe in their team if they tell you they have no chance to win any game. I could take a freshman team up against a varsity team and think I'm going to win the game. But saying that to say this, if you do not instill that within your players are going to be lost, and your game plan is going to be lost, and they're not going to execute your game plan. Your game plan simply has to fit to beat the team. Swing the ball, five passes, make a team play defense. Don't make it easy on them, unless you got a wide-open shot or a wide-open layup. But if you don't believe in that, if you don't produce that to your team and make them believe in that, it's lost. It's flat-out lost, and that's why you have Murray thinking he only saw Jokic, or it only appeared like he had Jokic. So he only had Jokic doing what they believe in. on what philosophy Mike Malone has preached to his team.
So let's just say for the sake of the conversation, the Denver Nuggets can somehow give the Lakers, as we say in the NBS, what will this say for the Denver Nuggets to be down 3-1 in the first two rounds, to be down 2-0 in the second round and advance to the NBA championship?
Team of to do that feat, brother. They're a team on a mission. Nobody's gonna count them out. Nobody would. They'll pick. Denver will be the unanimous choice to win the championship. Regardless, who comes out of the East? If Denver can get over the mighty Lakers, especially a three-one deficit or something like that, yeah, they'll be chosen to win the championship because they'll be the team of destiny. But again, like I said, any other setting, and if they have one more player actually producing, then you might have a different scenario. But at this point in time, Denver doesn't have a chance. If Denver does come back and win this series, yeah, the sky is falling. I got a bridge I want to sell you.
I'm gonna be very, very frank with you. I'm not picking the Los Angeles Lakers to get eliminated. I'm just saying for the sake of the conversation, if Denver was to get it done, can we kind of pencil the Nuggets in to win it all? Be it whether who comes out these Boston or Miami.
Yeah. Denver beats the Lakers. Yeah, I pick them to win it all. I would not go against them to win it all. If they beat the Lakers, I'm sorry, because I'm not a LeBron fan, but I do see the Lakers winning it all.
All right, so what is it that the Denver Nuggets have to do, David, to come out in Game 3 and secure a win?
They're gonna have to score the ball. They're gonna have to score the ball like they scored the ball in game two. But they're not gonna have to have. They can't have the mental errors, the mental defensive errors. Keep in mind, they were going to win game two had they not had that error.
Yes, they was going to win game two.
So if they don't have that error, if they don't have that mistake by the two bigs, if Malone doesn't give as you said, if Malone doesn't give Plumlee his 5 seconds of fame, Denver, we're talking a 1-1 series.
All right, so Michael Porter Jr. is not playoffs. Well, I can't say he's playoffs. I'm saying in this round he has not played well. What does Porter Jr. have to do to kind of get his game back going?
Calm down and play within himself and let the game come to him. He's going too fast. He's a rookie. This is a big moment, and it seems like it's almost too big for him, at least the way he's playing, if that makes any sense. The game's got to slow down for him. And it's not slowing down fast enough for him.
And that's just
he's playing too fast. He's playing too fast and not thinking things through.
And that's just the thing, though, Dave. The game is not slowing down for Mr. Porter Jr. I mean, I don't know if he is having a difficult time trying to adjust to these playoffs. Is it the bubble? I mean,
it's not the bubble, brother.
He has to play better in order for Denver. He has to be that third option for Denver. Because
You're exactly right. But it's too big of a moment for him right now. It's too big of a moment for him. It's nothing else you can say. It's just too big of a moment for him. And until he, you know, I guarantee you a year from now, put him in the same scenario, and I see this boy shining. So it's just a big moment right now for him. Too big, lights too bright for him.
The lights too bright for him.
Yeah, lights too bright
man,
for him.
Man, but you're a professional, man. When the lights come on, you got to be ready to go regardless of where you at. I mean, and now that the NBA has life inside of the bubble, I mean, there's nobody in the gym. So it should be something similar to basketball practice. I know you're not ruffled by some 2K sounds, you know.
Nah, Dennis, you forget. You got family in them down there now. You got family down there. You got more than just some little pumpkin sounds. You got, first of all, there's distractions as well. You got, some people got family down there. Some people chose not to send for their family and things of that nature. So some people got distractions. Some people got other things on their mind.
Yeah, because the Boston Celtics just approved for Jason Tatum's son to come inside the bubble. So that's
great.
Yeah,
Yeah, Jimmy Butler didn't have anybody come down, but Jamal Murray's son is down there now.
Absolutely.
Jason Tatum got his kids. You got distractions down there as well. So it's kind of a catch-22 for young players. You, at one hand, you haven't seen your family for how long has the bubble been going on compared to, I'm trying to focus on winning a championship. The world
this
is different right
July,
now.
This is July, about 2 months.
Yeah, so the world is different right now. All the kind of things, you know, we're not used to this mentally because, I mean, in a normal world, this time last year, you get to see your family. Now you have to go on the road for a week or so, but you got to see your family. You know,
right.
This, you had to take a process. So, it's, like I said, 2020 has been different, totally different, and that's an understatement. In some people's eyes, that's an understatement, and I understand it. But for the sports world, it has been chaotic. It's been stressing. It's been...
All
yeah.
right, so, Dave,
it's,
I'm
that's
gonna
the best
go
way
to
say
Brian.
It. Yeah.
I want to go to LeBron James. LeBron James stated that he was pissed off, basically, that he didn't win MVP and that he only got 16 first-round votes. Do you agree with LeBron's statement that he was slighted out of MVP, or do you think that LeBron was just basically being LeBron, in my opinion?
Unfortunately, the MVP is a regular season award. I don't know. LeBron was right to a certain extent because of what the Lakers have accomplished, but it's a regular season award, and Giannis and the Bucks were the best team in the regular season. So... No, LeBron, you shouldn't have got the MVP because if you take – this is the way I look at the MVP award. If you take the winner off of his team, what does his team become? Without Giannis, the Bucks may be a seventh seed if they make the playoffs at all.
A seventh without Giannis?
The Bucks, yeah.
That's
they're a seven seed, maybe six, but they're not no higher than a six. The Lakers, without LeBron.
Lakers without LeBron would still be a fifth seed at best because you got Anthony Davis.
Nah, but no,
maybe a fourth seed.
Are you telling me you're equaling Chris Middleton to AD?
Of course not.
Okay, then. Yeah. So
without LeBron, the Lakers, and I'm not a LeBron fan. I'm just speaking standpoint of basketball. Without LeBron, the Lakers wouldn't win the Western Conference. And the reason I say that is because AD couldn't win the Western Conference in New Orleans. And I'm just speaking on strictly as AD being the guy. If there's no LeBron James and the Lakers is just Anthony Davis and what they got now, the Lakers would not have won the Western Conference. No, sir.
And neither would the Bucks have won the Eastern Conference. So you equal there. But I'm saying the reason why LeBron, I'm saying this, and this is my sole point. The reason why LeBron did not win MVP this year is because he had AD. Giannis had Chris Middleton as the second best player. You got Chris Middleton compared to AD. You guys come out of the not only come clinch the number one seed, but you got the best record in the entire NBA with your second best player being Chris Middleton. No knock to Chris Middleton, don't get it twisted. But your second best player is Chris Middleton, where you are supposedly the best player in the world, and your second best player is arguably the best two-way big man in the game today. And y'all
right.
Couldn't get the best overall record. You've seen it for yourself, Dennis. You've seen Lakers games. There's been games where the Lakers have looked mediocre with LeBron and AD on the floor. Where there's been games, and granted it's the regular season, I understand that, but there have been games that Milwaukee looked damn near unbeatable with Giannis and Chris Middleton on the floor. Sometimes they look damn near unbeatable without Chris Middleton on the floor. And
okay, so, but the thing I don't like about Giannis winning the MVP, and I'm not saying that Giannis should have won, to say that LeBron should have won, because if you want to look at the stats, Anthony Davis, LeBron James wasn't even the best player on his team. Anthony Davis led the Lakers in six major categories. So I mean, I definitely would give it to Anthony Davis because I felt that Anthony Davis, in my opinion, came out and led the Lakers. I'm not a Lakers fan, LeBron fan. I'm just speaking strictly from a basketball perspective. Anthony Davis was and is playing like the best player on that roster. Hey, Dave?
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis. That was my work phone. Go ahead. Say that again. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just saying that the Lakers, Anthony Davis is playing like the best player on that roster. So I'm not saying that Giannis shouldn't have won, to say that LeBron should have won. I really feel like AD should have been the MVP this year because, in my opinion, he was the best player in the NBA all season long.
I like I said, it is a – like I said, it's a regular season award. I apologize, but you're not gonna change the voters' mind, regardless of the fact. But if I had a vote, which Lord knows I don't, but if I had a vote, that's my major sticker. Take that player, that candidate, off of that team, and what do you have? And if you don't have a team that can still do the same thing they've been doing without that player, then that player is the most valuable. That player uplifts them like Giannis uplifts the Bucks and LeBron uplifts even James Harden. Take James Harden off the Rockets. What do you have?
Right.
I mean, do you even think Houston? I don't know. Do you think Houston even makes it to the second round if they even make the playoffs?
Without Harden? No, absolutely not. No.
So you see my point? That's the question that's the question people should be asking. Without this player, what would this team be like? That's what makes the most valuable player.
They're probably just in the first round without James Harden.
Do you think they make the playoffs without James Harden?
Yeah, that's the Western Conference. So I don't know. You got to win at least 50 ball games out in the West.
Like you said, it's the Western Conference. I don't think so.
Yeah, you got to win at least 50 in the Western Conference to advance to the playoffs. So I'm not sure that the Houston Rockets can win 50 games without James Harden.
Oh, they definitely don't win 50 games without him.
All right. So. should the playoffs, well, should the NBA, should I say, add something for the playoffs, like a playoff MVP? Because if you want to be honest, if I want to be honest with you, Dave, I kind of feel like Giannis' MVP was kind of equivalent to a couple years ago, say when Dirk Nowitzki won. You remember when they when they got ran out the first round by the Golden State Warriors? Martin Ellis and Ben Davis.
Yeah, I love that Warriors team. That Warriors team was special. But
Andreas Bjelica, you know, and the Dallas Mavericks lost 4-1 that year to the Golden State Warriors. So I said that to say this is the MVP's equivalent.
I think that the MVP should be. I honestly think there should be two MVPs. First season, first half, second half. Or do a regular season MVP and a postseason MVP. I honestly think there should be two. Only reason why I say that is because,
I
said.
That as well, because there are a lot of people that play well in the playoffs and get absolutely no recognition.
I would say, I'll say that because look at what we're debating on right now. Look at what we're debating on right now. And look what happened. Like you said, look at Dirk's team and what happened to them. Number one seed lost to an eight seed. Giannis' team, number one seed, they met a team that had a cohesiveness and knew how to play together, and look what happened. And they exposed a lot of things about Milwaukee. They exposed a lot of things about Milwaukee. Miami, like I said, I think Miami coming out of the East. I'm sorry. I just at this point in the way they're playing, I think Miami's coming out of the East.
So you think Miami is probably coming out the East?
Yep. And it's going to be ironic, though. The last team that LeBron won a championship with, or the last franchise he won a championship with, he has to beat them to get yet another. You know, you see the irony in that? You had to run the South Beach to get you a championship. Now you had to run to the West Coast to get you a championship, and now you got to beat the team that you brought a championship to. And let
so,
you tell me,
how special is a player like Rajon Rondo, who, in my opinion, Dave, if the Lakers is to win, we got a few, got about 5 more minutes left in the show. If the Los Angeles Lakers are to win the championship, Rajon Rondo will be the first player to win a title with the Celtics and the Lakers. How special is a player like Rajon Rondo?
Very, very special. Rajon is the underappreciated floor general. Nobody really talks about how special Rajon. I mean, think about it. Rajon is playing on a team with big three, the first big three, all egos: Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce. Now you distributing the ball. You got to make all three of them cats happy. So it was a learn-on-the-fly job for Rajon. Now he's playing supposedly with the best player in the world, and he's got, like I said, the arguably best two-way big man in the game. And yet you still got to distribute the ball to them and keep them happy. You ask me what LeBron is asking for, because LeBron at this stage in his career doesn't want to control the ball. He doesn't want to be dribbling the ball and things of that nature. He don't want to be doing all that. He wants to be off the ball more. So Rajon, at this particular aspect of his career, he's all LeBron's been asking for. Like, give me this type of player. He's smart. He's crafty. This guy's playing 21 minutes in the Western Conference Finals and averaging 9 assists.
Absolutely. And that's why I've always been a fan of Rajon Rondo, because mainly because he fits into how I see the game. You know, your job is to make smart decisions, not necessarily score the ball. Just go, mm-hmm. go get a bucket if it's there. But, you know, make smart decisions. That's your job as a general. I mean, I kind of was hurt when Rajon Rondo went down with injury, because I knew that once Caruso went in at point guard, that the Lakers would just totally look different. I mean, and my assumptions were exact. They looked like a totally different ball club. But yeah, man. So we here today. The Final Four, Boston is down a game. You get even tonight. And the Denver Nuggets are down two games. They will have to wait until tomorrow night to test their strength against the Los Angeles Lakers. So, Dave, who you want to shout out tonight?
Man, I always want to shout out you, DT, for the platform that you have right now and allowing me to be your co-host on this. Great platform, man. It's fun talking. Like I said, it's always fun talking sports with people that have sports knowledge and just not talking off emotion or whatever. So I also want to shout you out for not bringing up my Lions, man. Even though I'm a diehard Lions fan, you know, we had horrible showing this weekend. So thank you for not rubbing that in. Shout out to the NBA. You know, they're getting ready to start back and finish up their season and crown a champion. And just shout out to everyone that's giving us a listen, supporting the show and supporting the movement.
Awesome, awesome. And I want to shout out Bree Connors, who was on the show earlier today. Women love sports, too. I want to give a shout out to Ethan Turner. Who else? I want to give a shout out to Angela Weathers and Wade Weathers in Dallas, Texas. We're training for champion. Dallas
Looking
Skyline.
Forward to them coming back on the show.
Be on the lookout for more of that. Be on the lookout for the Michigan Round Ball Classic coming up December 2020. Sports Talk Super Bowl coming up October 2020. Hey, with that being said, man, y'all have a good night. Be blessed. The Sports Talk says, see y'all next week.
All right.